This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. I'm here again today with my friend Dave DiPaolo, a sports historian, and particularly a historian on the history of the Dallas Cowboys. Dave is a couple years older than me, so he started watching the Cowboys in the 60s. I started around 1969 or so. And today we're going to go over the draft picks, go all the way back to the beginning of the draft picks that the Dallas Cowboys have had over the years. And I think one thing to point out to our listeners, Dave, is how far ahead the Cowboys were of the rest of the NFL with regards to draft picks.
You're right.
It really wasn't really That's until right. Around the late 70s, early 80s that the other teams finally caught up with them. And, you know, they had 20 winning seasons in a row from 1966 to 1985, I believe. And a big part of the reason for that was the draft picks. They were always ahead of everyone else on the draft picks.
Yep.
So, well, one team that did, I think the team that finally caught up to them, who also had a great scout, was the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had a guy named Bill Nunn. They called him Super Scout. Super Scout Bill Nunn. And he kind of started doing the same thing that the Cowboys were doing, going to these obscure colleges and picking out all these great athletes. So I'll let you start it off, Dave.
You know, Mark, you hit it right on the head, Mark. They were ahead of their time. I looked at the first, like, 6 years of the draft, roughly, from 1961, because they didn't draft in 1960. Their team was made up of castoffs from other teams. You know, I think each team had to give up three or four players, and they were, of course, they weren't good players. They were just players that those teams didn't want. And so their team wasn't that good. Right?
All the players that had bad knees and were at the end of their career, right?
Right? Or maybe, you know, malcontents, guys that were disgusted with the team. So they went to another team. But as I looked through these early drafts, I noticed that from 1961 through 1964, which is, you know, 4 or 5 years there, they had a lot of years with no like in 1962, for example, 7 no picks. So in 62, out of the 20 draft picks, 7 of them they didn't pick at all. They had no choice because what they were trying to do was they were trying to gather players from other teams, established players, to mix them in with the young players they were getting out of the draft. So in the first 4 years, they had 4, 7, 11, 15, 16, 19 picks, no picks at all. And so I found that to be very interesting. I forgot about that. You know, you forget, you can only retain so much information, but when you start looking back, you realize that was Landry's way of picking. They tried to pick up guys like Buddy Dial or this guy or that guy, and they ended up trading picks away for these guys. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the first few years, right?
Yes. I see even one of the picks, Mark, was the 5th pick in the 1962 draft. They traded the pick away for Dick Nolan. Imagine that.
Oh, yeah, Dick, he was defensive back, right?
Yes, he must have still been playing at that point.
Yeah.
And then later on, he was coaching the 49ers against the Cowboys in those playoff games, and then he became a Cowboy coach later on.
That's right. I think you're right. He played for them for a couple of years. Then I think he was an assistant for a couple of years. Then he went to 49ers. And then he eventually came back to the Cowboys again as an assistant.
And then, I don't know if you remember this, Mark, he came back again in 1989 when Jimmy Johnson took the team over. They brought Dick Nolan in for some reason. And when Tom Landry went into the Hall of Fame that year, Dick Nolan was there, and I talked with him. He was there, and he started talking about the guys that they had in training camp. Terrence Flagler, it was a running back they picked up from the – and he was talking about all these different guys they had. And I'm thinking to myself, they brought this guy back. I don't know how many years he was gone, but I was actually surprised. I had forgotten about that he was even there on that team in 89.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
If you want to look at that first pick in 61, where everybody knows that was Bob Lilly, he was actually the second. They had a pick before Lilly, but they traded it away for Eddie LeBaron. So the first pick that they actually got in was Bob Lilly, but he was actually considered 1B.
Okay.
You know?
Then who else was in that? Was there anyone else noteworthy in that?
You know what? There was a guy, Billy Shaw. You remember him? I think his son ended up playing with the Cowboys, didn't he? I think he was
Billy Shaw, Buffalo, right?
Yes. Yep. But what happened was he went to the – don't forget, Mark, this was – they were battling with the AFL for players back then. And so some of these guys never signed with the Cowboys, like E.J. Holub, who went to go play with the Chiefs. He was the Cowboys' second pick after Lilly, and then he never played with them.
And they were still the Dallas Texans, right?
Correct. Exactly right. Exactly right. And
Billy Shaw signed with Buffalo Bills.
That's right. Exactly. But I'm looking over the other names. Nobody. Remember, there was two Talbert brothers, Dyron Talbert and Don Talbert. And Don Talbert got drafted. Yeah. He was drafted in this draft with the – he was the eighth pick in that first draft that they had.
Right.
Other than that –
he was an offensive lineman, right?
Yes. Other than that, Mark, no recognizable names from that first draft other than Lilly. We know how he turned out. We've talked about Lilly,
They would have had two other great players if it wasn't for the AFL.
Yes.
Billy Shaw's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, exactly.
Billy Shaw's a Hall of Famer. Okay, you want to go to 1962?
In 62, Mark, they picked up George Andre in the sixth round, which jumps off the – if you're looking at the – and the first they actually gave away a choice for Lilly. So they must have moved up, and they gave away their first pick in the 62 draft. Okay, but then they drafted Sonny Gibbs. He was another quarterback out of TCU, the same college that Lilly went to. And they gave up a third pick. Their third pick, they had given that choice away for Don Meredith. So they were giving away, they were giving away picks to try to get some, established players or really good players like Meredith coming out of SMU. He was highly touted.
Yep. Well, George Andre was a good pick.
George Andre, if you don't, you forget how these guys, but I look back at his career when we did that podcast on the 100 greatest players. I started looking at George Andre, and he'd be in the Hall of Very Good. If he was with the Cowboys a couple of more seasons, his sack totals were very good back then. They really were.
He was a tremendous defensive end.
Yeah, I think he played. Didn't he play basketball as well?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was out of Marquette, I believe. The 63 draft, Mark, jumps off the page because you had three Hall of Famers in that draft, believe it or not. You had Bob Hayes, and people who go on these podcast and talk about Bob Hayes shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, should have their head examined, okay? They don't know what they're talking about as far as football goes, because maybe some of his numbers are still very good to this day. His average per catch, his touchdown totals. But the guy completely revolutionized the game of football. And these guys say, oh, Bob Hayes, he's sometimes you see these lists, guys that shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He's on a few of those lists. Those people are nuts.
Yeah.
You had Hayes, you had Mel Renfro, who was kind of a double duty player back then. He was playing offense and defense, almost like a Deion Sanders before Deion Sanders.
That's right.
And you had Roger Staubach, Mark, taken in the 10th round. Oh. Staubach.
Yeah. Well, you have two guys there that were risky picks, because Hayes went to the 64 Olympics.
Right.
He didn't start playing until 65, right?
That's right.
He didn't play the Cowboys till 65. And Staubach still had, four or five years left in the Navy. So it was a risky pick.
Was Staubach's first year, Mark, 69? I always forget that. Think 69?
69, yep.
Okay.
69 was his first season.
So if he got drafted in 63, say he came in for that 63 season. You know, Landry never played these rookie quarterbacks. He was always a big believer, 2-3 years on the bench. That was his thing. Couldn't get that out of his head. So somewhere around 66, Staubach would have started. And those were the years that they started to get good, really. 65, I think they were .500. And in 66, they went to the championship game against the Packers. You know?
Right. Yeah, but both of those, Hayes and Staubach, that's what I was talking about with, you know, they would take risks and they would go to these obscure colleges. No, nobody really even knew, you know, Staubach had five years left of naval commitment.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And that was Hayes would come to the Olympics, so they weren't even sure he was going to play football.
That was the 64 draft. My mistake, 64. But I was looking to see if there were any other notables in that draft in 64. And you did have, they had Billy Lothridge. He was another quarterback. They were really stocking up on quarterbacks. Think about it. They had Eddie LeBaron. They had Meredith. They had Sonny Gibbs. They had Billy Lothridge. Some of these guys, they must have let go. They couldn't have. They had all of them, you know?
Yeah.
And, by the way, they had Jerry Rome. Jerry Rome got drafted in 64. He was their 13th round pick out of Tulsa. So that's five guys we just mentioned right there.
Right.
Not mentioning, not even counting Staubach. We didn't even mention him. Throw him in the mix.
That's right.
So maybe Landry was getting crazy back then. I don't know what he was thinking, but I mean, that was, you know.
63 was the year Staubach won the Heisman Trophy, right?
Yes, that's why I got a little mixed up. He was a junior. You're correct. Yeah. Yes, but 63, they did have a one good draft pick. I was looking at this, and that was Leroy Jordan in the first round.
Oh, yeah. That's a very good pick.
How about that?
In Alabama, right?
Yep.
Played for Bear Bryant, right?
Yeah, called him one of the best players he ever coached. He said he was perfect. He never out of position, tackling form, perfect.
Yeah. Very smart player. And he wasn't a big guy.
No
linebacker.
No, they got him here listed at 210. He was probably at his peak, 225 tops.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he was tough. Yeah, he was a very good player. If we go to 1965, Mark, to make it even crazier, okay, we just got done talking about all these quarterbacks. 1965, first pick out of California, Greg Morton, another quarterback.
Yeah, they were stocking up.
You know, I don't know. I never got your feelings on Morton, but Craig Morton I mean, Landry loved Craig Morton. He just loved him. He even after Morton hurt his shoulder, to me, he was never the same. Yeah. But he stuck with him, Mark. I think Morton. You can't blame one guy for a loss, but he had a major, major part of that loss to the Colts in Super Bowl V.
Yeah, well, the two games before that, he didn't. Well, the Lions. I think he had four completions against the Lions, and then the 49ers didn't play well. But you could tell. I mean, you could tell that, you know, his shoulder wasn't right, so it's hard to explain why Landry kept sticking with him. But their running game was so good that they, in spite of the fact that Morton wasn't playing well, they kept winning because their defense was tremendous and their running game was tops in the league. They had Garrison, they had Hill, they had Dwayne Thomas.
So, no, you're right. You're right, Mark. They had, the funny thing about Morton was that he was a bigger guy than you'd think. You forget, he was 6'4", 220 pounds. That was big for a quarterback back then, very big, actually. But he did have a very good arm, but he just, that Super Bowl, those two late interceptions. If you told somebody today, okay, if you started talking to somebody and you told a guy that a starting quarterback had four completions in a playoff game, he'd laugh you out of the room.
Yeah, and they still won the game.
Yeah, it was insane, Mark. Me and my buddies, a couple guys that come over, they're 49er fans. We talk about that, Craig. When somebody has a bad game today, quarterback, they always say, oh, this is like Craig Morton. They're not even Cowboy fans. They talk about the Craig Morton game against the Lions, 5-0.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they drafted Morton in 65. I mean, and they already had, I mean, you know, Staubach wasn't there yet. He didn't come until 69. But, I mean, they had Meredith in the fold. And you know, Meredith retired prematurely, really, if you think about it. He could have played another four more years, I bet you.
Yeah, he only played 9 seasons.
Yep. You probably heard the story that Lance Rensel told one time about they went into a restaurant after one of those games against the Browns. I don't know if it was 68 or 60. I can't remember which game it was, but it was one of those two playoff losses against the Browns. They went into, and the people got up in the restaurant and they stood up and they started booing him. And I think that, I think that's what kind of led to his, I saw an interview with him once and he was saying, you know, the people didn't understand, you know, he goes, you go out there and you give everything you got. And then they just whammy, they hit you with the boos. And he goes, but you don't understand, people. He was saying, I really felt bad for the guy.
Yeah. What year did you say Renfro was 64?
Renfro came in 64. He returned kicks. He returned punts. He played a little offense, and he was a Pro Bowl player for his first 10 years. His first 10 years in the league, he was in the. That was when the Pro Bowl meant something too.
That's right. I think he could play corner and safety equally well. They used them at both. And they used them at, I think Dan Reeves got injured. They put him at running back.
Yes.
Yeah. Tremendous athlete.
He was great. And his induction to the Football Hall of Fame should have come a lot sooner than it did.
Oh, yeah. They made him wait forever. I don't know what. I don't know what that was about, because, like you said, 10 in a row, 10 Pro Bowls in a row.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. In 66, Mark, they had a – I'm sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Did you miss what year – was he a free agent? Maybe he was a free agent. Cornell Green.
Cornell Green was a free agent, but he came in around that time. You're correct. He was a free agent out of Utah, and he played basketball, never even played football. He was a basketball player. And that goes back. that goes back to what you were saying earlier about them going and not just going to small colleges, but finding these guys that played other sports. And they drafted, people don't even know this, a lot of people, they drafted Pat Riley, who eventually played for the Lakers and coached the Lakers. He was a draft pick from the Cowboys. People forget about that.
I was always fascinated by the Cornell Green story.
Free Cornell, agent. You're right. You're right, Mark. Like you're right. You're
right. Never played a down of football.
No.
Basketball player.
Yep.
And those are the kind of guys, they never drafted by position. They didn't even care if you never played football. They went and watched them play basketball, and they said, this guy's a great athlete. And next thing you know, he's getting a tryout.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You could make he was a big guy, Mark, too. I don't know if you remember that.
Yep. Yes, he was.
They got him listed at 6'3". That was tall for somebody in the secondary back then.
Yeah, it was.
And he had a very he played from 62. He came in 62, Mark. He played from 62 to 74. He had 34 career interceptions, and he had a couple of touchdowns, and he had almost 600 yards in return yardage, and he was a very, very good all-around player. He was he was a two-time All-Pro, meaning he was the best at his position for 2 years, and he was a five-time Pro Bowler. You know,
yeah, he was tremendous.
A guy that was never drafted, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No.
You know?
And never even played football.
No? So you're right. Yeah. Him and Renfro were back there together for quite a long time.
That's right.
Let me go see here, Mark. In 66, they drafted John Nyland in the first round out of Iowa. That was a good pick, huh?
Very good pick.
Okay. Willie Towns he was good, but his career was short with the Cowboys. Do you know, Mark? Did he get hurt?
Defensive end, right?
Correct. Yeah.
I'm not sure if I have the right guy, but I think it may have had a weight problem. I remember they had a guy on defense that had a hard time keeping his weight down.
Really?
I'm not sure if that was him.
Yeah.
It may have been him.
You could be right about. Didn't they have, I think they had a thing at training camp called the Fat Man's Table.
That's right.
And they,
they gave him salad to eat while everyone else was eating steak.
Yeah. They show him here at 260 pounds, but some of these things are, sometimes they're, you know, kind of being a little polite about that.
Yeah.
But he only played 4 years with the Cowboys. He had 18 and a half sacks, you know.
Yeah.
That's not bad for he had a big play in the ice game, didn't he?
That's right. He played very well against the Packers.
Correct?
Yeah, both of those championship games against the Packers. He played very well.
Yes. He either forced a fumble or picked up a fumble, I think, in the ice game. I think George Andre, I'm not sure if he ran it in, but Towns had a big hand in both. He had two very good games in those championship games. And then in the fifth round in 66, they drafted Walt Garrison.
Yeah, that's another big
pick. That was a great pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they,
these guys.
Yeah, they gave him a signing bonus. They gave him a horse trailer.
That's right.
Right?
For his rodeo. He was doing the rodeo.
That's right. Landry didn't like that.
No.
No. Remember Les? Then they also picked up two more running backs late in that draft in 66. Les Schei and Craig Bainham.
Leschi, I think, was number 25.
Yes, he was. Yep.
Bainham. Yeah.
Yeah, he was out of Long Beach State, Leschi. And look, they were accumulating a pretty good backfield. They already had Don Perkins, and they already had Dan Reeves, I believe, at that point.
Right. What year was Jethro
Pugh? You know, they had a couple of more guys. And in 67, they had probably the most, well, I don't know the exact word they used, but they gave up more for this player than any other player that they ever had, the Cowboys. That included Tony Dorsett. And it was Ralph Neely. I never knew this complete story until I started looking into it. But they picked up.
Oh, yeah.
They picked up
the AFL one.
Yes, exactly. They had a battle with the AFL over Ralph Neely.
That's right. Yep.
What ended up happening, Mark, so in 1966, they didn't have a choice. They gave up a choice. They gave up a fourth-round pick to the Baltimore Colts for the rights of Ralph Neely. I'm not sure what that meant, but the Colts drafted him, and the Oilers drafted him. Don't forget, the Colts were in the NFL at that time.
Yep.
Houston Oilers drafted him in the AFL. So when it cycled around for Neely for his time to play in 67, the Cowboys gave up three or four more choices to get Ralph Neely. Ralph Neely had signed with the Oilers. This is how bizarre it is. Gave his signing bonus back and got the contract. He gave the contract back. The Cowboys gave up three or four draft choices. I could tell you in a minute what exactly. I think it was four picks. And they had to pay all the court costs for the court fees for the – they went to court against the Oilers. And Neely, before he moved – but Neely was initially a right tackle. And before he moved over to left tackle, he was a four-time all-pro player. Right tackle.
Right.
And he was a member of the all-decade 1960s team. I forgot about that, Ralph Neely. That's how good he was. He went to switch at left tackle when Rayfield Wright came in. He was not quite as effective at left tackle, but he was still very, very good. So they gave up more for Ralph Neely than any player in Cowboy history, if you could believe that.
Wow. Well, that's how serious that AFL and NFL war was.
Yep. They gave up, Mark.
So what about?
Go ahead.
What about Jethro Pugh? What year was he?
Jethro Pugh out of Elizabeth City. That was a tiny little college up in the Carolinas, I think.
Yeah, that's another example of what we're talking about.
I gotta look that. Jethro Pugh was right around this time. I think I want to say he was a very late pick, Mark. He wasn't a free agent. He came out of Elizabeth City State, and I think his first year was 65. So they drafted him in 65. I'm not sure the exact position, but I could tell you in a minute. Jethro Pugh was a 11th round pick.
Mm-hmm.
11th round draft. Let me tell you something. Jethro Pugh is extremely underrated, Mark. I don't got to tell you that.
Yeah. Tremendous player.
This guy was overshadowed by... Well, there was a lot of good guys around him. Lilly playing right next to him, but Jethro Pugh had a lot of success. I looked at a recent video where this guy, I think his name is the Logical Cowboy. If you look him up, he's got a lot of really. He puts together a lot of very good videos. He spends a lot of time on him. There's a lot of homework that goes into him, and he had Jethro Pugh, and he gave his sack totals. And you wouldn't believe that his sack totals were rivaling any. They were rivaling and better than just about any guy that's ever played the game, Mark. Jethro Pugh.
Yeah, I believe it.
I didn't write it down, but I watched that video, Well, that was, well, a result of that having Lilly next to him helped. You know that.
Right.
But he was still very good, and he had a very long career. I think his last year was when the Cowboys played the Broncos in the Super Bowls. He was still around for that.
I think he was still around for the
Pittsburgh game?
Pittsburgh Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
13, I think that was his last game.
You're correct.
Yeah. And then in his later years, he got overshadowed by the other guys, Ray and Harvey Martin and Ed Too Tall Jones.
Yes.
So
you're right.
He was always overshadowed by somebody, but he was a tremendous player.
He was a great player. He had a little store in the Dallas airport, the DFW airport. He had one of these stores where he sold a lot of Cowboys merchandise. And I never caught him in there, but every time I would go to the airport, I would always check in there to see if he was there. But he owned that little shop in there. And sometimes he was in there. I was told by other people that they had met him in there. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Jethro Pugh, great. That was a great thing you just mentioned, because I missed that on the 65 draft. You're right, Jethro Pugh. Yes, sir.
What about Larry Cole? Is he a free agent?
Phenomenal. Out of Hawaii. Larry Cole, yeah. You know, he might have been, Mark, a free agent. I'm going to look him. He might have been a free agent. You know, they just, Lilly talked about him as being just a real steady guy, you know, a real strong guy. And Larry Cole, you know, Mark, as well as anybody, he could play either of those positions.
Yep. Equally right. Well.
Larry That's Cole. Right.
Defensive end, defensive tackle.
I but didn't get his book yet.
That line.
Yes, exactly. He was a 68. He came in 68, Mark. And you're not going to believe it. Well, maybe you will believe it. 16th round pick.
Yeah.
16th round pick.
Amazing.
And I think he was the first player ever taken out of Hawaii. In the NFL, yeah. Not just the Cowboys, the yeah. NFL. I'm pretty sure of that.
It's amazing how they would find these guys.
No, it really
Gil
was.
Gil Brandt, right?
That's right.
You got to give credit to Gil Brandt. He was the scout, the main scout, right? Gil Brandt.
He really was. He came over when Tex Ram came over from the Rams. Tex Ram worked for the Rams at one point.
Yep.
And Gil Brandt, he knew him. He was taking baby pictures. He was a baby photographer. And he comes to the Cowboys, and he goes out, and he was very good at working the players over and working over their families. That's what they said. Gil Brandt was very good at that. He was a real schmoozer, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know,
he would find all these obscure colleges and these players no one ever heard of.
No,
Jethro Pugh, Larry Cole.
That's right. 67, Mark, is the year I told you they drafted Pat Riley, who never played with the Cowboys, but they did it. The whole rest of the draft is pretty, it's unrecognizable, except for one guy taken in the seventh round, 1967.
Rayfield,
right. Mark knows.
Yep. Tight end, right? Started out as a tight end.
Tremendous.
Number 85.
That's right.
Number 85, tight end.
Yep. Tremendous. And, you know, it's funny, as you look at these drafts, they kind of went into a lull here. I look at 67 and 68. Between those two drafts, really, I take it back. 68, two starters they got out of that draft. They got Blaine Nye out of Stanford.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And Dee Dee Lewis out of Mississippi State. Yep.
Those are two big picks.
They got a lot of mileage out of D.D. Lewis. He at one time he held the record for the most playoff games.
That's right.
Most playoff game, I think 25 or 26 games.
Yep. Another very steady player.
Blaine Nye, another very good offensive lineman. That offensive line was very good. They had Manders, Neely, Nye, Wright, and Lisio at the early part, but then they, you know.
That's right.
He was the guy who said that the guy who punched Staubach, what was his name? The quarterback.
Clint Longley.
He said in the Thanksgiving Day game that he had that big success. And Blaine Knight called it he said it was a victory or a product of the uncluttered mind. He said he just went in there and threw the ball around.
Yeah.
69.
Those good quotes.
Oh, he was good. He was a smart guy. Well, out of Stanford, right? You know?
Yeah. To become a professor, I think.
Imagine that.
Very smart. Solid offensive. Yeah. A guard.
Yeah, they got him listed here as they got him listed at 6'4", 265. And they got Larry Cole listed at 6'5", 250. Yeah, Larry Cole. I didn't realize he was 6'5". That's a pretty, you know, that's a good sized guy for back then.
Yeah.
In 69, Mark, first round pick. You'll know who that is.
Calvin Hill.
Yes, sir.
Calvin Hill, right?
Yeah, you'll know where he came from, too, yeah.
From Yale.
Yeah. Not too many. No?
We're drafting people from Yale.
No. Nor any Ivy League school, I don't think, Mark, right?
No. Nobody was drafted from the Ivy League school.
You know, you look at this, Mark, and you look at 69 and 70. They drafted, that would be unheard of today, they draft two running backs back-to-back in the first round. Calvin Hill in 69, and you know who in 70.
Yep, Dwayne Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Imagine spending two number one picks at running back position. Like today, a running back is almost like they go, well, you know, we can pick up a running back. And they're almost like disposable today in today's game. Back then, I mean, Calvin Hill was, I mean, I forgot his totals in his rookie year. I forgot exactly what he compiled. But the way I thought, looking at the two guys now, I think you'll probably agree with me. I thought Dwayne Thomas was the better running back of the two.
Well, the problem with Calvin Hill is he's injury prone. Calvin Hill was injury prone. He was tremendous athletic ability. Remember how he used to jump over, he used to hurdle over tacklers.
Yep. Calvin Hill.
He got injured a lot.
Yes, he did. He was a big guy, though, for that time. You know. He was six. They got him listed. He was 6'3", 230 pounds. There were hardly any running backs of that size back then. Any of them?
No. He was leaping over tacklers, and he was the first Dallas Cowboy to gain over 1,000 yards rushing.
That's right, Mark. And how about the way he held that ball when he would run?
Yeah. That's right.
Right? That could have, Landry was a stickler for those kinds of things. He couldn't have liked that very much, Landry, the way he was holding that ball.
No, I'm sure he didn't.
He had it out in the, he would run with it out hand like he was palming a basketball. And he would just have it, it was never tucked in until a contact was made. But when he was out there running on the open, he had the thing out for grabs. It was kind of crazy.
And he fumbled in the Super Bowl against Miami.
Yep.
It would have been 31-3.
That's right.
I think they were on the 1 yard line. He jumped up to go across the goal, and they punched the ball out of. Like you said, he didn't hold that ball good. They punched the ball out.
You know what I remember about that? That's right, 31-3. I remember about that fumble play, Mark. My uncle Jerry, who was my great uncle. He come up, he watched football. He was not even on my father's side. He was on my mother's side of the family. But he never missed a weekend. He come up for Monday night football. And at the time, he had to be in his, probably, I'd say he was in his 70s. And so he was a big, huge Bear fan. He loved George Halas. He loved the Bears. He was always talking about Gale Sayers. And when that, I'll never forget it. He said, they're going to give the ball to Calvin Hill and he's going to fumble. I'll never forget that play, Uncle. And that's exactly what happened. Me, as kids, we talked about that for the next 5 years, me and my buddies.
He predicted it.
And that other, so a few more guys from that 70 draft, Mark, Charlie Waters.
Oh, tremendous draft. Cliff Harris.
Cliff Harris, right? Cliff Harris actually was a free agent.
That's right.
Was not drafted. I'm looking at it. You know who they did draft, Mark? And I wasn't aware of this. And you'll remember him because you're very good with that. Pete Athis.
That's right. Pete Athis went on to play for the Giants. I think they drafted... That 70 draft, they had a lot of athletes. Richmond Flowers, I think.
Yes, sir.
Was he in that? Steve Kiner?
Yes, he was, Steve Kiner.
Steve Kiner was a linebacker. He was a good player, Steve Kiner, but he was a doper. He liked to smoke the dope. And
there's a couple more guys. Couple more guys in that 70 draft, Mark. John Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. 1970 was a tremendous draft.
Yeah, Steve Kiner out of Tennessee. John Fitzgerald and Pat Toomey, Mark.
Whoa, another one.
How about that? And Mark Washington.
That might have been their best year ever.
You think? Let me ask you about that. Some people say it was the 75 draft, which we're going to get to in a minute. Some people think the 63 draft, just 64, just because of Staubach, Renfro, and Hayes. I mean, how do you balance that out? Like,
yeah, all Hall of Fame, all three Hall of Fame, 64. That's a tremendous year. 64, 70, 75. And, of course, the big pick in 70 was Dwayne Thomas, right?
I tell you, he could have been if he had his head screwed on straight, that guy could have been one of the best running backs of his era, maybe even the best. I thought he was that good.
Oh, he was that good. Me and my brother talk about him all the time. The talent that guy had, unbelievable.
Even Bob Lilly said it. He said it was the closest thing he had ever seen to Jim Brown. Lilly.
That's right. Yep. And, you know, you forget. It's easy to criticize him, but you forget. You're talking about a 22, 23-year-old kid. And he was not getting good advice from the people he was getting advice from. He wasn't getting good advice.
No.
You know. I mean, the Cowboys were known not to pay their players very well. They were known not to pay their players very well. And so he wanted to renegotiate his contract after his rookie season. And Tex Schramm was in charge of the contracts. He said, no. And, They could have done something for him, you know. So
wasn't there a story about Staubach trying to get into the office when he was renegotiating the contract, and he was waiting and waiting, and he went outside like on a ledge or something and trying to come in. So he said it was like, it was crazy, the story, I think. And he said, Tex Ram, I didn't have an agent back then. He goes, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. He goes, but we just didn't have agents. And, we negotiated our own contracts. And all the star players were underpaid. The two biggest, Lilly and Staubach. And they were even underpaid.
Yeah. Yep. Tex Ram was tight. Tight with the money. But Dwayne Thomas, there's enough blame there to go around, but, he handled it the wrong way. They told him they wouldn't renegotiate his contract. He was young. He handled it the wrong way. He got a lot of bad advice. And career, what a career he could have had.
He tells a story, Mark, about being underpaid, just what you're talking about, what you're saying. And he says that he knew a guy named Don Parrish who played for the Cardinals. And he said that Don Parrish got most valuable player on his team. He got $25,000. Dwayne Thomas was making $20,000 back then, and he got most valuable. He got rookie of the year in the league.
That's right.
Don Parrish got rookie of the year on his team, and he got more than his entire salary. That was one of his big gripes, and then he couldn't get over that. He never got over that.
Yep. Well, it's a shame because he could have had an amazing career.
He was a tremendous, his running style, everything about it. He could block. Landry claimed he never missed an assignment, and he could catch. Yep. He had great hands.
Yep, he could do it all. He could do it all. He had all the tools. And
71, Mark. I'm looking at the 71 draft. Kind of a lousy draft. The only guy really they had, Toby Smith. They thought he was the brother of Bubba Smith.
That's right.
And they picked him up in the first round, if you could believe. He never really panned out.
Yeah.
And the only other guy worth mentioning, Mark, really is Bill Gregory. They picked him up in the third. They had two picks in the third round. They picked him up, Bill Gregory.
Gregory was good because he could fill in anytime someone went down with an injury. They put Bill Gregory in there, and they weren't losing much with him.
No.
He was a very good player.
No.
Tremendous backup player.
Yep.
going back. Going back to that 70, Cliff Harris and Charlie Waters and those guys wound up best buddies.
Yes.
And they said they got to the point where they knew what the other guy was thinking. They didn't even have to talk. They knew what the other guy was thinking.
Yes.
They made a great tandem. Yeah.
They have a book. I think they even worked together, Mark, later on after football.
That's right. Yep.
And there's that little book. You have that book on them? There's a book on the two of them.
Yeah, the cover has them sitting on their helmet, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, sitting on the helmet.
I mean, it's they were great.
Quite a tandem they made.
They had a couple of some of their first round picks started to get a little sketchy about this time. They drafted a guy in 72, Bill Thomas. He wasn't too, but they picked up a couple of guys in that 72 draft that became good contributors. Robert Newhouse. And Gene Fugit in the 13th round, Gene Fugit. How about that?
Yeah, he was good.
I know they traded him to the Redskins, but
Yeah, I think that was another contract dispute.
It could have been. There was a...
Gene Fugit was so good that Billy Joe Dupree was second string.
Yes, he was, because he came in the next round. Funny you bring him up. Billy Joe Dupree came in 73 with a first-round pick, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good draft, Mark. Looking at that draft, Billy Joe Dupree, followed by Golden Richards in the second round. They had an extra second-round pick. They traded away for Jack Concannon. Remember they signed him as a backup?
Yeah.
And, in the third round, they picked up Harvey Martin. Yes, exactly.
So they had Martin, Newhouse, and Billy. Newhouse was 72, right?
Yes, he was 72 with Fugit, and then they pick up Billy Joe Dupree, Golden Richards, and Harvey Martin in 73. So they also picked up, as another side note, sometimes people forget about this. They picked up Bruce Walton. It was Bill Walton's brother.
That's
basketball
right.
Player.
Yeah, he was a backup offensive lineman.
There you go.
And then, of course, 73 was the free agent. You know who I'm talking about.
73?
Free agent.
Who was that, Mark? Remind me.
He played football in New Jersey, high school football.
With Joe Theismann. Drew Pearson, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. He was a free agent.
Imagine that, you forget. It's amazing. You know, like, think of these guys, these free agents we're talking about. There's two Hall of Famers right there, Cliff Harris and Drew Pearson. Yeah. Guys never played football. And you could go back and make a claim for Cornell Green being very, very good. There's, you know, those three guys we just talked about.
That's right.
You know, unbelievable. They in 74, of course, that first pick was Ed Too Tall Jones, which was what do you remember about that pick, Mark? That, you know, Ed Jones in the first round.
Well, they really needed, like I say, they didn't really draft by position, but defensive end, they were, Andre had retired. Pat Toomey, I think there was some issue. He was good, Pat Toomey, but I think they had some contract problems with him, too. He eventually went to the Raiders, I think.
That's right.
Buffalo. He played for Buffalo. He played for the Raiders.
That's right.
So they really needed a defensive end. They really needed a defensive end. And I couldn't believe when I heard how tall he was. 6'9".
That was
unheard of.
I think you can make a case for Ed Jones for the Hall of Fame. I really do. I mean, he was tremendous against the run as well as the pay. He was a great run defender, one of the best that ever played that position. And he batted down. There was a six-year span where the guy batted down 65 passes at Jones.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a tremendous amount.
You know? Other notables in that draft, Mark, they picked up Charles Young. Remember him?
Yeah, running back.
Yep.
Number 30.
Yes, right. And really, the only other notable really out of that draft was Danny White. They picked up Danny White in the third round.
He was playing in the WFL, right?
He did, yeah. That was another thing. Guys were going to play in that crazy league.
That's right.
A lot of big-time stars went to that league. Didn't Zonka and Kick go?
Zonka, Kick, Warfield. Daryl LaMonica.
Yes, I forgot about La Monica.
Yeah. A lot of guys went to that league.
How about the... How about the 75 draft, the one that now people talk about could have been their best ever? They had, you know that, they had the dozen guys that made it as rookies, but out of those dozen guys, Mark, one, I think at one time, looking at them here, I think at one time or another, not all of them, no, not Woolsey, but other than Raleigh Woolsey, I think just about all of them started at one point or another. 11 out of 12 started, were starters.
Yeah, I could believe it. At least six of those 12 went on to become All-Pro or Pro Bowl. Right? They got Pat Donovan.
That's right.
Was Herb Scott was in there, right?
Herb Scott, 13th round pick. Imagine that.
Herb Scott, Pat Donovan, Henderson, of course, was in there, right?
Thomas, he was great. Henderson.
There's another one.
Flight. He was great. Yeah, like I used to tell Summers, he was on dope, but he would have been in the Hall of Fame. I'm convinced of it.
Him and Dwayne Thomas. Unbelievable. Just natural athletic ability. Just totally natural, God-given athletic ability. Those two guys. Thomas Henderson, Dwayne Thomas. They both had problems. You know. It's a shame.
Was Burton Lawless, Mark, a starter at one point?
Yes, he was. Yep. Burton Lawless, number 66. Yep, he was a starter.
Yep. And Kyle Davis was in there. Randy Hughes, there was another very, very good player.
Yep. He was a defensive back, right? Safety, I think.
Yeah, what happened to him, Mark?
He couldn't get in there because Harrison Waters... You know, he couldn't become a starter, but he still played a lot, even though he wasn't a starter. And he had a great Super Bowl against the Broncos, remember? He had a tremendous...
He was a real hard hitter, Mark.
And then they fought, and he was tall. I think he was about 6'4". And then Cliff Harris retired after the 79 season. And Randy Hughes finally got his chance to become a starter, and then he tore up his shoulder.
Yes.
He tore up his shoulder.
Yeah. That's what it was.
And never really...
That's what it
never
was.
Never really fully recovered from it. He finally got his chance, and then he tore up his shoulder.
The lowest guy on that list, the last pick at 14, was Scott Laidlaw.
Scott Laidlaw was another tremendous player. And every time Newhouse got injured, they put Laidlaw in there, and he was just as good. And he was a good blocker.
I thought he was a better blocker than Newhouse.
Very good blocker, tremendous blocker. I think it was Super Bowl 13 where he put his helmet in Jack Lambert's chest. I think it was a blitz. I think Lambert was blitzing, and Laidlaw put his helmet right in his chest, and he had to go out of the game for a couple of plays. He knocked the wind out of him.
That's right. It's right. That was the Jackie Smith catch he did it on.
That's right. Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Laidlaw. And I remember Laidlaw had a big game a Thanksgiving game against the Redskins. He had a career game.
Really?
I think it was 1978, they played the Redskins on Thanksgiving, and Newhouse was injured. And they put Laidlaw.
Imagine that.
He had about 160 yards in that game. They couldn't stop them.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, they went, well, the next biggest player they drafted after that was Dorsett in 77. Right. And they picked up Dorsett and Tony Hill, both in the 77 draft. Tony Hill in the third round.
I guess we don't, we kind of skipped over him, but there's not really much to say that hasn't already been said. And that 75 draft, of course, was Randy White.
We did skip over him, but we've talked about him over the. You're right. He was the. Look, like I said, one of the greatest defensive tackles ever to play the game. You know? And they picked him up from the Giants. I mean, they got an extra pick for the Craig Morton. Like I used to say to Steve Summers, they traded Morton. The guy was a stiff. And they got Randy White for him. It was unbelievable. You know? He was one of the best ever. He really was. I was listening to
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.